Here. It's been a while. I think the last time we were back was probably before COVID. Well, it was before COVID, but I think it was in 2018. So a lot has changed since then, including the fact that I lost my hearing in one ear. And a lot of changes happened as well with regards to the involvement in work that we do in the north of Spain, in the Basque Country. My kids were sitting there really, really excited when my wife was speaking, because she left out one mistake that she made. Isn't that right? Yeah? And they, you know, really want you to hear it. Jane one day recently, so it's not that long ago, went into a supermarket with my two kids and was looking for an item. Of course, she was speaking in Spanish, and she asked one of the helpers, okay, where this certain item was in the supermarket. But what she had said, well, what she wanted to say in Spanish was, where are the eggs? Instead, she said, where are the bones? The guy looked at her in shock and says, we don't sell those here. And my two kids basically laughed and laughed and have not forgotten that. There's no doubt that you have to have a sense of humor if you live in another country. You have to be able to laugh at yourself. I say that as well with regards to being up here, because you always make mistakes, don't you? You always wish you could change something, etc. But I think God has a sense of humor, and I hope that you have as well. I know my time is short, so with regards to doing a report, it will be very, very brief, because I want to spend some time just sharing God's word with you this morning. David has said that we finish at 12 o'clock, is that right? Roughly, yeah? Well, listen, we work in Spain. I'm from Cork, so we'll see how that goes. We're not in the UK. Since we were last year, I was asked to become the pastor of Bilbao International Church. For quite a while, over a space of a year, I said no. We felt it wasn't right. It wasn't what God was leading us to. However, we saw that actually there was a real opening here, and that actually it was God's will. Basically, because a lot of Basque people come to this church rather than going to the Spanish church, because they want to improve their English. And it is a real good platform for reaching out into the Basque people, to the towns, the villages, the cities, etc., in the Basque region. Jane leads the Sunday school and other events there as well, in the church, women's group, etc. And a lot of these ones are not Christians. They come along because they want to see what's happening, they want to improve their English, they want to get to know the English culture, etc., etc. So it is a real opening in that area. However, we also are still involved in GBU, but not as a GBU staff worker, that is a CU, Christian Union staff worker. I was asked to go on the overall committee in Spain, which means looking at the whole work and seeing what we're doing and how we move forward in the different areas in Spain. That takes up a lot of time, but it is a real blessing. Another one that we're involved in, and Jane mentioned it there, is Andamio, called Andamio Kids. That is publishing good material into Spanish and the Basque language, okay? Also, we're involved in Andamio. So you have Andamio Kids and Andamio. Andamio basically is the publishing arm of the CU. And we publish a lot of books there, a lot of commentaries, Christian books into Spanish and the various languages. Since we were last here, we have now a warehouse in Miami, in America. So we're shipping books out there so that the Spanish-speaking world in South America can have good material as well. So it's quite global, it's quite big. But we're very, very thankful to God that he has allowed us to be part of that. One quick story. I want you to join with me. I want you to join with me as we journey through Europe. A young guy, the age of 17, 18 years of age, a Moroccan. He was a clear Muslim, but he began to question his faith. Over a space of 6-7 months, he decided and he believed that there was no God there. Nothing. He saw the emptiness of it all. He and his uncle decided to leave Morocco because they needed a better life. They had no work, no hope whatsoever. Both these people left Morocco, basically in the back of a lorry, and traveled to different parts of Europe, ending up in Bosnia. They were there for quite a while. They had no money or very little money. There was a church there that did outreach and provided resources, clothes, food, etc. And even a place that they could go and have a shower. Those two guys went along to the church. The pastor preached his sermon and afterwards gave them a summary of the sermon in English. Over time, they became Christians. Moving on, they realized that they had to move from Bosnia, and so what did they do again? The back of a lorry, traveling. You know, we hear all this negative side to immigrants, etc. But in this case, there's no doubt God was working. And he was opening doors to bring these people to himself. They ended up in Spain, well, more in Bilbao, in the Basque Country. And they came along to Bilbao International Church. One has moved on. The uncle has moved on to Italy to join his wife and family. Yassine is with us in Bilbao. God works miracles. Think of your friends who do not know Christ. Think of your family who do not know Christ. And ask yourself, has God got the power and the ability to change people's lives? Well, he has. He has. His word is powerful and is able to transform people. We were praying earlier before the service. And in my prayer, I thank God for Westside, for your faithful witness over the years here in Bandon. I see Ruth Smith with us here this morning. Her faithfulness and other teachers, Sunday school teachers, just presenting the gospel. I probably was the worst Sunday school person, boy, that you could meet. Those memory verses, they didn't stay. Those songs, well, I was always put in the back of the group who were singing. And my kids know why. In the car, we sing songs, except for me. I'm not allowed. But don't forget to look back and see what God has done and his faithfulness in working here, and indeed his faithfulness in your life. If you are a child of God, you are a miracle. You are a miracle. Because according to God's word, without Christ, our hearts are darkened. There is no light. There is nothing. There is nothing. But it takes God to come by his Spirit to open our hearts, like Lydia in Acts, where it says, God opened her heart and she believed. Not the other way around. She did not believe first. No. God opened her heart and then she believed. Let's pray that God will open the hearts of our friends, our families, our neighbors, those who we work with, those who we go to school with. Let's pray that God will move. Very often I'm asked to preach or teach on evangelism. And sometimes I begin by saying, the biggest problem that we face with regards to doing evangelism is ourselves not believing that God can work and change people's lives. He can. He did it in my family's life. My dad, my mom, etc. A miracle. Absolutely. I want to quickly just speak about the passage that Jane read, but I want to draw your attention to something extremely important here. Because we're in September, it's a kind of a beginning of a new year, isn't it? And we can feel a little bit drained, a little bit tired. And spiritually, we can feel a little bit tired and lack motivation to share God's word, to share the gospel. So what I want to do this morning is just talk to you and say, listen, what is the motivation for sharing the gospel? What motivates us? What inspires us? What drives us on to say, yes, I'm going to share the gospel? You know, sometimes we are a bit like a supporter of a football team who has lost every match in the last 6 months. And so we don't like people bringing up about our football team. Why? Because we're ashamed. They've lost. There's nothing to boast about. However, when it comes to the gospel, there is something that should motivate us beyond anything else, and that is God's glory. So what I want to do this morning is marry that thought of sharing the gospel and God's glory together, working hand in hand in our lives as we move forward. What is the glory of God? What does the word glory mean from a biblical perspective? Well, it actually means something that is weighty, that is abundant, that is wealthy, that is worthy. So when we think of the word glory or God's glory, we're thinking of something, wow, it's abundant, it's wealthy, it's worthy. My father-in-law, he died about 15 years ago, roughly. He had one favorite word, three-letter word, and this was it. Wow. Wow. And he used to go on to say, never lose the wow of the gospel. Never lose the amazement of the gospel. Never lose the amazement of who God is. You see, sometimes We look at the gospel, or we look at God, or we think about God, and he's so small. In other words, our vision, our understanding of who God is so small. And what I want to do this morning is to enlarge that vision of who God is. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 1, it says this: Jacob has gained all this wealth. Let me read it again. Jacob has gained all this wealth. You can change that because it's the same word. Jacob has gained all this glory. As people looked on Jacob, they saw all his possessions. They saw all his riches. And they went, wow. Wow. Look at that man. Look at what he has got. And you see, it's the same with us when we think of God. We should be saying, look at God. Look at who he is. His character. The glory of God is his own overflowing abundance. Gaining him a reputation for being the most wonderful person in the entire world. Let me read that again. The glory of God is his own overflowing abundance, gaining him a reputation for being the most wonderful person in the whole wide world. Now, if we can grasp that in our own hearts, if we can let that seep into our very souls, what do you think it's going to do? Well, I think what's going to happen is something similar to what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. They began to speak about God. Now, you can actually translate that in a different way when it talks about speaking, talking. It actually is, they began to gossip about God. I met James French about 2 weeks ago up in Ulster. He's now playing for Ulster, which is a shame, but anyway. But he's all excited. He really is. And when you look at his achievements, they're quite amazing. A young guy, 23. Yeah. 24. Still young. Yeah. 24. And every now and again, when I'm talking to my rugby friends, do you know what I do? I say, oh, by the way, James French plays for either Munster or Ulster. And I'm proud of him. And it's great. Why? Because he's achieving something good. But when it comes to God, sorry, Shirley, James doesn't get a look in. He doesn't. He doesn't get a look in. No one. You see, it's important that we do get to grips with the doctrine of God. Because the doctrine of God, once we understand it, once we pray it into our lives, will drive us on. We want to share the glory of God because he shared it with us. In Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Why does it say you are worthy, our Lord and God? Why? Why does it say you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power? Well, it says it there in the verse. Because he created all things. Look at the world around you. Take a drive into the countryside. We've been doing that recently. And when you're in the mountains and you see the mountains and you see the rivers and you go, wow, wow, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Who created all that? God. God. But listen, read on. Because in the second part of that verse, it says, and by your will they were created and have their being. What does that mean? It means this. Right at this moment in time, God is keeping everything going. God is keeping you alive. You think it's your exercise. You think it's your diet, but it's actually God. Our lives are in His hands. We will pass away in His time. In His time. So we can rest assured we will not die before we're meant to die. We can rest assured that God is in control of everything. And I know that is difficult at times, especially when hardship comes, when difficulty comes. But that's when we cast our eyes upon Him. That's when we say, be still my soul, and know that you are God, that He is the one in control. Are you excited? Are you? We live in a world that is lonely. People are frightened. People don't know who they are. They're stressed out. They're wondering, do I fit in? Will I be accepted? A friend of mine once said to me, he was from London, he said, you know, when you go out with your friends, and he was talking about his non-Christian friends, he said, when I go out with them, and we're all together, everyone is happy. Everyone gives the appearance that they got it. But he said, when you talk to them one-to-one, it's a different story. It's a different story. Why? Because from a biblical perspective, we were created to be in a relationship with Him, with God. And only then will we find happiness and true meaning. Brothers and sisters here this morning, that's what you have. Meaning, purpose. Sure assurance. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things for God's glory. Now I realize my time is up, but I will try to finish in the next 5 minutes. If I can borrow 5 minutes, okay? You don't have to invite me back the next time. Why live for God's glory? Well, in a sense, I've covered it already. Well, the first point is this, why live for God's glory? Because living for God's glory honors Him. That's the first point. But also, the second point, because living for God's glory blesses us. It blesses us. It brings us a sense of satisfaction, a sense of purpose. In John 17, when you have time, look at it again, and you will see that at the heart of Jesus' prayer is this, His desire that we would see His glory, His desire that we would share His glory. Imagine meeting the richest man in the world. and he comes to you and he knocks on your door and he says, "Hey, I don't know who you are, but I want to share my wealth with you." That's what God is doing. He's sharing his glory with us. With us. Let me read Romans 11, verse 36. "For from him and through him and to him are all things." In other words, everything. "To him be the glory forever. All things were created through him and for him." Hebrews 2, verse 10. "For him and by him all things exist." Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. It says this: "If this morning you are looking for, or you have been looking for, what is the purpose of your life, read Isaiah 43, verse 7. Short verse. God made us for his glory. God made us for his glory. That's what you were made for. To glorify him and to share in his glory. Adam and Eve rejected it. Adam and Eve thought, "We can do without God." But once they did that, they turned their back on God and they cut themselves off from the source of real joy and happiness and blessedness, the source of purpose in their lives. Psalm 37 says this, verse 4, delight enjoy yourself in the Lord. Delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, what the psalmist is saying, alluding to there, is that we have these desires. They're down there somewhere. But those desires can only find happiness and purpose when we delight ourselves in God, when we live for him, when we start putting him first in our lives, when we realize that everything else is secondary and comes to nothing compared to him. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We come to him and we find rest and we find satisfaction. Jonathan Edwards said the following: "God is infinitely the greatest and best of beings. All things else, with regards to worthiness, importance, and excellence, are perfectly as nothing in comparison to him. The ultimate goal of God's works is the glory of God." I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis in closing. "If I came to you this morning and I started going on," I should be over here, shouldn't I? Yes. "If I came to you this morning and started going on to you about how great I am, that I'm such a fantastic person, well, first of all, I'd have my sister-in-law coming up to me and giving off to me, because she knows me fairly well. But if I kept going on about myself, you know, that I'm a good speaker, I'm definitely the best looking guy of the French family, etc., etc., after a while you go, he's so big-headed. He's, you know, just keeps talking about himself. We've all met people like that. And they're not nice to be around. And yet God calls us to glorify him. C.S. Lewis had a problem with it at the beginning. Listen to what he says. When I first began to draw near to belief in God, and even for some time after, I found a stumbling block in the demand that we should praise God, which we are doing with the hymns and choruses and songs. Still more in the suggestion that God himself demanded that we would glorify him. C.S. Lewis goes on to say, we all despise the man who demands continuous assurance of his own virtue. But the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything else, strangely escaped me. I never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. That's true. I'm sure if James French started playing for Ulster, Shirley would be kind of sending some photos in our French WhatsApp group. Isn't that right? What's she doing? She's just praising him for what he has achieved. And that is what C.S. Lewis says. We all do it. I remember speaking at a meeting, and I started talking about Arsenal Football Club, how great they are. And afterwards, a friend of mine came up to me and says, Derek, you've never talked about them before. And he's right. They're not that great. Lewis goes on, the world rings with praise. Lovers praising their spouses. Have you ever done that, David? Gone on about your wife, how brilliant she is? If not, you should. Readers praising their famous or their favorite poet or writers. Walkers praising the countryside. Players, supporters praising their favorite players or teams. Us, as Christians, just responding to who God is, we're praising him. To fully enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. It's brilliant, isn't it? He says, come. Come to me and enjoy me. You see, as we get to know God better, as we enjoy him, we will start overflowing with praise to glorify him. Let's begin this new year with that in our mind. Who God is, that he calls us to share in his glory. And by the way, we're only experiencing a taste of him now. One day, that will be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied as we enjoy who he is, without sin, without death, without tears. Let's pray. Father, we do confess that there have been lots of times in our lives that we have been ashamed of you. There's been lots of times where our view of you has been so small so watered down by the pressures and the stresses of this world. But we have come here this morning to remind ourselves again of who you are. Remind us of what you want us to share, that you want us to share in your glory. Father, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Let there be rivers of flowing waters flowing through our lives so that we would glorify you the way you ought to be glorified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Derek. It's nice to have a reminder to just remember to